What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the very first official episode of In This Phase. My name is Kristen Bautista. You can call me KB, whichever. I don't really care. I'm just so glad that you guys are here. Out of all the podcasts, out of all the amazing podcasts that there are, you chose to listen to mine, and I'm just completely humbled, grateful, excited, nervous, all of the feelings. So yeah, I'm just so grateful that you guys have decided to join me no matter where you are, what you're doing. Thank you for taking the time to being with me here today. All right, you guys, here we are. First official episode, like I said. It is December, the last month of 2024. And if I'm being completely honest with you, which is the whole purpose of this podcast, I was supposed to release my first official episode on November 10th, which is my birthday. But I was feeling very weighted about turning 33, which is completely insane. I mean, not insane, but I was in Disneyland with my best friend slash cousin, and we were having the best time in the happiest place on earth, just kind of going with the flow of the day. Didn't have to worry about no nieces or nephews, although I love you all completely. But going to Disneyland without kids is just such a different experience that I highly recommend to anybody before having kids if you've never gone to Disneyland. But yeah, I was there with her. We were having a good time. She was constantly checking in on me with just my mental and emotional state, which I, of course, really appreciate. And leave it up to her to be like, so what's up with your podcast? Why didn't you release your first episode? And I told her, you know, like, I'm happy that it's my birthday. I'm happy that I'm here celebrating with you. But I also feel like turning 33 and not being where I thought I would be at 33 years old, not hitting certain milestones by the time I was this age, is really difficult to face. And she's like, well, then why didn't you talk about it on the podcast? Like, isn't that your whole tell your stories unfiltered and build connections? And I hear you. I'm not trying to filter my story by any means. I'm just trying to work out, kind of iron out how I want to share my story, because I still want to be respectful to all parties involved while still sharing my truth and hopefully reaching people out there who have had similar experiences. So I apologize first and foremost for not releasing my first episode back in November, which is what I initially intended. I was going through some heavy emotions, which I still am. But moving forward, I hope to release an episode every month as promised. So here we are, you guys, first episode in December, the last month of the year, and I appropriately called it Lessons on Lessons because I do want to share a couple of lessons that I've been learning and kind of putting into practice this entire year, let alone the last year and a half, last 2 years of my life. And 2024 has been very hard. It has been chaotic, to say the least. It has been humbling. It has been everything that I didn't know that I needed, but has absolutely helped me in the best way possible. In the last year, year and a half, I've moved 3 times. I've changed jobs, and a lot really has changed in the last year, and time flies by. So first episode, Lessons on Lessons, and I wanted to share with you guys a few of the very important lessons that I've taken away from this past year in this current phase of my life. And the first one is, what you don't change, you choose. And this can apply to pretty much everything in your life, right? We can't control people's actions. We can't control the way people react or the way that people think, their, you know, perception on life. And that was a really hard one for me to learn. As I kind of briefly shared with you guys in the trailer, I was in a very long relationship, one that was almost a decade, with somebody that I thought was going to be the person that I shared the rest of my life with. We had issues for sure. You know, when you're in pursuit of your dreams and you put a warning label on dating somebody who is in high pursuit of those dreams, it doesn't mean that that person is completely absolved from the responsibility of making the relationship work. It takes two people to make the relationship work. And I did everything that I possibly could. I gave my absolute best that I could give. I quit my job in the Bay Area to move and follow his dream. And I got iHeart out of it. Working at iHeart was one of the best experiences of my life that nothing will ever replace. The family that I cultivated through my coworkers there are one of the best people that I have ever met, and they will always be family to me. But when it came to the relationship, there were a lot of things that I wanted so much to change, that I wanted us to change together. And you can only vocalize your feelings, your emotional state. You can only vocalize that and share that so much with a partner. And if the change is only temporary and then it goes back to whatever the issue was, you kind of got to start to realize that that's just a pattern. And you then have to make the choice of looking at the situation, realizing that it's a pattern, and how long you want to continue to participate in this pattern that is clearly making you unhappy, you know, just depressed, feeling lonely, sad, whatever feelings that you're feeling from this pattern, it's up to you to choose to stay in that or not. If you've realized that it's no longer in your control, or that, you know, the change is not something that you can do, it's up to you. And if you don't choose to change something about your situation, then you are definitely choosing to stay in it. And it took me a while to learn that lesson for sure. And that's just the relationship aspect of it. There are things individually within myself, procrastination. I'm sure that that's a big one that a lot of people can resonate with. I procrastinate with a lot of things, simple things, even laundry, I'm sure, is something that people can agree with me isn't their most favorite thing, but something as simple as laundry and procrastinating on that, I can choose to let it pile up, or I can choose to do it every week and a half, 2 weeks on the dot, and make sure I have clean underwear when it comes time to have clean underwear. So yeah, what you don't change, you choose. And that's definitely something that can apply to more serious aspects of your life and more lighthearted things as well. And going back to the things that I am experiencing now in trying to heal from a very, very difficult breakup. And I have no shame in saying that. When you're with somebody for as long as I was with that person, and you plan a life together and you dream dreams together and you start building this life together, and it just ends up kind of crumbling all down in the aftermath of that, of course, pain is inevitable. I can choose to not suffer in that pain. It's one thing to feel pain and let your emotion ride that ride, but it's a completely different thing to self-suffer. And one of the biggest things that I did was block him on social media, unfollow him, remove him, just all the things social media-wise. I don't see anything going on in his current life, and therefore it doesn't feed the curiosity, and eventually the curiosity will all die down. And there was one thing, one of my cousins, her name is Sammy, who has also been through different phases in her life as well, but she had given me a very small piece of advice, which actually ended up being one of the biggest takeaways, which I guess this is a sub lesson to the bigger lesson. She simply said, "You'll know when you've had enough." And she would tell me this while I was still in the relationship. "You'll know when you've had enough. You'll know when you've cried enough tears. You'll know when you're done feeling sad and lonely and belittled and insignificant. You'll know when you've had enough." And the same thing applied after I broke up with my partner, after I moved back home. The little things, following him on social media, seeing him within 7 days of me moving out of our apartment, upgrading what was our family car to this other car that he wanted, buying a new couch, coffee, all these things that he did within a week of me moving out wasn't enough for me then to stop seeing it or closing off that avenue that was accessing my pain. I was keeping open an avenue for my pain to grow and not really heal. It took having to see a certain post on social media. He started dating somebody new. And that's hard regardless, you know, if you've been with somebody for 9 days, 9 months, 9 years, when somebody that was once a part of your life starts sharing that life with somebody else, it's hard, regardless of if I'm the one who walked away or not. But I had seen a post on social media and that's when I knew, okay, I've had enough. And it wasn't necessarily I've had enough of seeing him live his life. It was more so I've had enough of sabotaging myself. I've had enough of self-suffering because I walked away from the biggest thing that was inflicting pain and hurt on my life and anything thereafter. I was feeding that pain. I had to own up to that responsibility and accountability of, if I'm feeling pain, that's one thing, but if I'm adding to it, then I'm just choosing to suffer. And I had to cut off that lane super quick. And one thing that another cousin said of mine, and just side note, you guys will hear countless times the word cousin, because my family, my cousins specifically, we have a bond that is unlike any other. My cousins were all pretty close in age and everybody's going through similar life experiences and very different life experiences all at the same time. And we're kind of each other's village and go-to people. And my cousins are some of my best friends and people that I turn to for anything and everything. So you guys will hear the word cousins a lot. So just side note on that. But something that another cousin had said to me, after I had saw that post, I called her up, went to her house right away. I left work. I actually faked being sick, went to her house, told her what I saw on social media. And she had asked me, you know, like, the things that you're healing, the things that you want to protect, are they sacred to you? And I said, of course. And she said, well, by allowing him access to the things that you're healing from, allowing him access to the things that you're trying to protect, that you say is sacred to you, you're putting those things at risk. And whoa, that really hit me in a way that really made me want to be serious about healing, be serious about protecting the things that I wanted to protect in my life, like my heart. And again, anything that I was seeing or doing that wasn't serving my healing was self-suffering. And that was completely on me. This person's out of my life. I walked away from that. So there was no reason for me to continue to add on to the pain that I was healing from and instead focus on healing. And when the bad days come, feel them, but try to move on from that, let the feeling pass and, you know, go through the motions of, why am I having this feeling? Well, why am I having this thought? And boil it down to, what can I learn from feeling this feeling? Let it pass and then go on about your day. It's easier said than done for sure, but it's something that I put into practice every time I have those hard days. Even now, a year and a half, 2 years later, it's going to take me a while to get over this big life change, but that's because I'm actually trying to do it in the right way. And that kind of leads me into the second lesson that I've been learning this past year and when this phase of my life started. And that second lesson is, rebuilding my life starts with rebuilding my internal infrastructure. And if you guys listen back to the trailer, there was a part in the trailer that said, through this heartbreak, I get to rebuild my life. And I was very intentional about using the word get to, or using the phrase get to, because if I look at this as, I have to rebuild my life, I have to start over. Yes, that is true. But if I look at it more so as an opportunity, as opposed to an obligation, a setback, then the things that I'm inviting into my life through the perception that it's an opportunity is going to be a lot better for me and for the people that I'm trying to be the best version of myself for. And it's all about how I'm trying to look at this phase of my life, how I'm trying to look at this heartbreak. Yes, it didn't work out. Yes, it is completely debilitating in every way you can possibly imagine. But what is it here to teach me? Why was I supposed to go through that? And I really believe after months and months and months of playing back conversations, reliving experiences and memories in my head and asking questions about it, not getting answers or getting answers that I maybe wasn't looking for, I'm realizing that, yes, there's a lot of things that I couldn't change, a lot of things that were done to me that were very, very hurtful. But at the end of the day, like lesson one, what you don't change, you choose. I was choosing to continue in that pattern. Something inside me allowed for that to happen. Something inside me was saying, it's okay that you're being treated this way. It's okay that you're being spoken to this way. And that's an internal infrastructure thing. And so in this phase of my life, I'm really asking myself the important questions. What does my internal infrastructure consist of? It consists of gratitude, humility. It consists of God at my center. It consists of family. It consists of unconditional love. My internal infrastructure needs to be strong enough so that when I am ready to date somebody else and take that relationship just as seriously as I did with this one, I will have a much stronger foundation and therefore not allow for certain things to happen to me again or to be treated the way I was treated previously. Have boundaries and stand up for those boundaries and not waver from them. What did I value before that I don't anymore? Before, I would value the picture and what our relationship looked like to others. I valued so much what people perceived our relationship to be. Oh, we're living in LA. He's in the music industry. I'm in media and live entertainment. We have everything going on. I wanted everybody to believe that. And I valued that very much. Because if anybody knew the truth, oh God, right? That's no way for a relationship not only to live and breathe in, but to even grow and manifest into something better. There's a lot of things that I valued before that I don't care for now. And now, you know, I'm having to ask myself, well, what do I value now? What's important to me now? And family has always been a core value of mine that's never changed. But being honest with my family more so is something that I value rather than having them believe a false perception of what my life is. I'd rather be truthful and honest because this is my family. These are the people who are there for me. Like I said previously about my cousins and the bond that we share, like that's my village. And there is something powerful in the fact that I'm so close with them. They're going to see every part of my life and vice versa as we grow up together. And I want to be honest with them about that. And I value the honesty that I didn't once value before. And one of the other things that I'm trying to incorporate in my internal infrastructure is recognizing my worth and standing up for it, which is a huge thing that I know is hard for a lot of young women, especially when you get into a relationship when you're 18, 20, 25, 26. I know everybody's different, but speaking for myself, it took me a long time to realize my worth and not let that worth be dependent on external things, because external things will come and go. People, materialistic things, jobs. You know, like if I'm attaching my worth and values to something that is completely external, then I am subject to letting my worth and value ebb and flow. And that is not something that I am willing to do anymore. And so standing up for myself, I remember it was in late April when I had first told my ex how unhappy I was. Because I had told him in the past, we would work on it, or kind of, not really. But this time felt different. And I remember in the moment of standing up for myself, it felt terrible. It did not feel good to stand up for myself in that moment and really relay how unhappy I was, why I was unhappy, the things that I wanted us to do to fix it, go to couples therapy, try living apart, but still wanting the relationship to work, just trying something different. And it felt terrible because I really had somehow learned that I didn't deserve to stand up for myself. Because every time that I had done so in the past, nothing would change. And therefore, I felt like my feelings didn't have as much value in the relationship. Having to tiptoe when I was going to express my feelings was something that I had to do day in, day out. Kind of reading the room. Is it okay to share if I'm sad or that I'm unhappy? And nobody should ever have to tiptoe around their partner, around the person that they want to share their life with. And realizing that it felt horrible standing up for myself because I felt like I didn't deserve it, even that feeling felt horrible. In hindsight, I think it was important for me to feel that because I persisted anyway. It didn't feel good, but I knew that it would feel better eventually. Eventually, having the hope that eventually I will not feel this way about myself anymore, that I will one day feel like I am deserving of my feelings being considered and receiving respect, all of the things that you think are the very bare minimum in a relationship, I was deserving of it, and that it wasn't going to be in this relationship, as sad as that made me feel. And so I think replaying conversations can be dangerous. It can be a roadblock to your healing, but I think you can learn from replaying conversations in your head or fights that you may have had in the past, and not to rewrite your history or to make you feel bad all over again, but more so to look at it as, how did I respond when that conversation happened? How did I feel when that conversation happened? Now that I'm healing and learning my self-worth and gaining confidence, how would this version of me today have handled that conversation before, that fight before? And in the future, when I do have a partner again, I'll be able to handle whatever situation so much better because I'm learning from my past experiences. And that now leads into my third lesson that I've been working on this year. And I'm actually going to quote Jay Shetty, who is my all-time favorite podcaster, author. He's just absolutely amazing. And his podcast has helped me in this phase of my life, has helped me healed in so many ways. So quick shout out to Jay Shetty. But I'm going to quote something that he said in an episode with Liza Kashi. And he had said, life is phases and phases change. And naturally, we're going to go through different transitions in life. We try to get out of transitions quickly, but transitions are the time we must spend time in. That's where we should want to spend our time, is in the transition to get it right. Because when you rush a transition, you end up at a destination you don't want to be at. I remember I was commuting to work, to my new job, popped on this, you know, podcast episode. And when he said that, it kind of made me feel better about where I'm at in life right now. I am, and where I'm at in life right now, just to give you guys a little picture, I was living with my parents for a little bit, and I love my parents so, so much, but my sister and brother-in-law really wanted me to move in with them, and that was the original plan, but I had told them, no, I'll just move in with mom and dad, like you guys have your kids. I don't want to intrude on your life. Mom and dad, childhood home, it'll be good. And it was good, to be honest. And somewhere along the line, I think my ego got the best of me, and I will 100% admit that. You know, being 32 at the time, having to move back home because I couldn't live independently without, you know, a partner. It's hard. For sure it's hard. No, there's a sense of embarrassment and shame that I feel, although I feel completely blessed and grateful to have such supportive parents, that still coexists with the shame and embarrassment that I feel for having to live under someone else's roof because I simply can't do it on my own. And prior to that, when I had initially moved out of the apartment that I was living in with my ex, I was living with my cousin and her husband in Santa Clarita. And even that, you know, had a sense of embarrassment. Living with my cousin softened the blow of not living with parents for sure. Like, it felt like, you know, roommates, housemates. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, you know, being part of their household and being welcomed into their family for, you know, a few months, still working at iHeart, trying to figure out my next move. It was a blessing for sure. Fast forward to now, I am living with my sister and brother-in-law and, you know, helping with my niece and nephew. They help out with my dog, Samson. And as much as I want to live independently, I'm taking it in strides. And my family is completely supportive of that. There is no rush or urgency to move on from what happened to you and just, you know, on to the next. There is nothing in the air that breathes that sort of vibe. And I'm completely grateful. And so in this transition, run it back to that quote, taking time in this transition is the best thing that I can do for myself. I get that everybody has their own timeline when moving on from a relationship, but I'm very adamant about not dating anybody right now, because if I rush into dating somebody else, hop into the next relationship, that person is going to bear my wounds. And I'd rather take the time to heal my wounds and be the best version of myself for myself first and foremost, and then for my family and my friends who have supported me and been a shoulder to cry on and have just been the greatest people throughout this whole journey. They deserve the best version of myself. And when the time comes that, you know, God or the universe says, okay, I think you're good now, like I can introduce a partner to you, I know that I will be ready to take on the responsibility of a relationship because I've mastered the responsibility of myself. And even though I'm always going to be a work in progress, as we all are, like none of us are ever completely done, I will say that I know myself now better than I did a few years ago, a few months ago, and I want to make sure that I know myself completely, value myself the way that I deserve to be valued, know what I deserve before I get into that next relationship. And rushing to just date somebody new out of the fear of being alone, it already sounds like I'm not setting up that relationship on a platform to succeed. If the only reason I'm getting with somebody is because it's external validation, it's instant gratification, it's I'm not alone anymore, I have somebody else again, I would then have to question if I'm with that person for the right reasons, because I genuinely like them and am interested in them and see them as a life partner, or if I just couldn't stand the thought of being alone and am scared of the possibility of never being in a relationship again. I would rather take on the unknown than to repeat familial pain because I didn't learn my lesson, because I didn't take time in the transition to really work on myself properly and heal myself the right way. So there you have it, you guys. Though I've been learning so many more lessons than the ones that I've mentioned in this episode, these are three of the most important ones that I feel like I wanted to share with you today. So just to reiterate, wrap it up, the first lesson that I've been learning is what you don't change, you choose. The second lesson is rebuilding my life starts with rebuilding my internal infrastructure. And the last lesson that I shared with you all today that I've been learning, putting into practice every single day, is take time in this transition. And I actually want to add on to that. It's not even just taking time in this transition to heal properly, to learn the things that I need to learn, but it's also being okay with taking your time. And I think I'm at fault with that. A lot of my family will tell me, grant yourself grace. You've been through a lot that, you know, some people out there can't imagine. Give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. And I think that's something that I am definitely learning to do, is giving myself grace in this transition, in this phase of my life, because that's far more important than rushing out of this and ending up at a destination I don't want to be at. So until then, you guys, you can find me here in this phase of my life, messing up, learning, messing up again, but learning more, getting these things right about myself, rebuilding my internal infrastructure, analyzing my values, looking at the things that I can and can't control, and deciding what is worth my time and energy moving forward. I want to start ending each episode with a famous quote, song lyric, or a cliche. And so this being episode one, here is the first quote, lyric, or cliche. So I actually chose a lyric for this one, and it goes, "Maybe loving me's the reason you can't love yourself." And that's from Ghost Town by Benson Boone. Super good song. It got me through a lot in the past couple months. It's definitely on my reminder playlist. I have a playlist called Reminders, just, you know, reminding me of things about my relationship that I'm trying to move forward from. So there you have it. That lyric resonates with me because I didn't realize how much I didn't love myself even prior to the relationship, and then even more so during that 9-year span. And that's something that nobody can make you do. Nobody can fix for you. That is definitely a first person thing. You know, learning to love yourself is not something that anybody can do for you. There's definitely support systems, family, friends, people in your life, mentors who can help you along and assist you in that. But it's ultimately up to you to learn how to love yourself. And so that's where I'm at. That's why that lyric resonates with me so much, is lack of self-love will allow for a lot of really negative things, things that aren't good for you. It'll invite a lot of those things into your life. So with wrapping up 2024, it being almost the new year, I just want to wish everybody a happy new year, and I pray for nothing but blessings and opportunities and good things for your life in 2025 and years after that. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I look forward to coming out with another one very, very soon. Please be safe with your family, whatever you're doing to celebrate New Year's. So yeah, Happy New Year's, guys. I hope that 2024 for you came with good lessons, opportunities, new friendships, and just you're wrapping it up with so much gratitude, as I am, for every experience that I've encountered in the last year. So thank you all, and until next time.